and a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We'll have more from the Law Group coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, the municipal elections are heading our way here in southeastern North Carolina and throughout the vast majority of the state. Coming up here over the next couple of months, that of course will take place in November. And there's a phrase that is thrown around a lot by those on the political left that to me no longer has a meaning. And this is something that the left continues, I think, to struggle with in the realm of public perception. They throw around these phrases and these terms and these words consistently and use them as kind of catch-all terms for everything. And the end result ends up being that these words and these phrases and these terms no longer have a meaning. This morning, we're going to be talking about the phrase and the term voter suppression. But before we get into that, like, for example, you know, threat to democracy. When everything is a threat to democracy, nothing is a threat to democracy. The left, for the longest time, used the catch-all term racist to describe anybody and everything that they disagreed with. You say, I don't like something that a Democrat is doing, then by default, you are a racist, regardless of what the person's race is, regardless of what you said, you were a racist, you were a bigot. It goes all the way back to the 2016 election that started with the left in their attempt to try and discount Donald Trump, discount his supporters. They claimed that he and everybody that supported him were a group of racists, a group of bigots. You hated women. You were a misogynist. You were a xenophobe. You were a thisophobe. These catch-all terms used to describe everything. And it kind of makes sense, right? As you know and you're well aware, the Democrat Party is struggling and has continued to struggle with messaging. They have continued to struggle with the concept, with the notion, with the idea of, frankly, winning elections. And so their solution to being unable to win elections, their solution to not having popular ideas, not having popular principles and things that the American voting base agrees with and supports, they use these catch-all terms like threat to democracy to literally describe anything and everything that Donald Trump does. I mean, literally anything. It's consistently 24/7, 365, a threat to democracy. What that means, I have no freaking idea. And at this point in time, it is one of those terms that I might argue no longer really has a meaning. Because when everything is a threat to democracy, by extension, nothing is a threat to democracy. And this is something that the left struggles with. So we're going to talk about the term voter suppression this morning as it's relevant to some political ongoings here across southeastern North Carolina. Back on July the 22nd, the New Hanover County Board of Elections voted unanimously. Now, this is a 5-member board, 3 Republicans and 2 Democrats. That's an important part of the story here. So a split board. Republicans do have the majority, yes, but it is not a 5-0 Republican-controlled board. 5 Republicans, 3 Republicans rather, 2 Democrats. That's your 5-member board. So back on Tuesday, June the 22nd, the Board of Education unanimously voted to have the Northeast Public Library off of Eastwood Road as the only polling location for early voting in the county for the municipal elections. And there are municipal elections happening, of course, in the city of Wilmington are the largest, Wrightsville Beach, Carolina Beach, and Curie Beach here in New Hanover County. Those are the 4 municipalities that have elections this cycle. Now, the county at the time claimed that they were going forward with these fewer sites. This is not something that has not happened before in municipal elections in the past. There have been 1 or 2 election sites, but that did not stop the outrage from those on the political left. Jill Hotman, the chair of the New Hanover County Democrat Party, told WECT News at the time, quote, "This is incredibly restrictive to voting access." And in the days and weeks following this decision, which was back on June 22nd, I mean, so you're talking about something that happened a little over 2 weeks ago. Since then, all over social media, you've had other local governments like the city of Wilmington and progressive leftists throughout the community talking about how the Board of Elections, again, the unanimous 5-member split partisan board, is conducting voter suppression. And it's not really a surprise, is it? Because the same individuals claiming voter suppression over this are the same ones that claim and cry voter suppression over voter identification. These same individuals believe that it is restrictive to voters to have to verify who their identity is, verify that they are an actual eligible voter in the county, the municipality, the place that they are trying to vote with some sort of photo identification, which for 90+% of individuals is, of course, a state-issued driver's license. The vast majority, I may argue 99% of the population, has a driver's license. You need some form of photo ID, whether it's a driver's license or a state-issued ID, to literally do anything. You need it to, of course, drive a car. You need it to rent an apartment or rent a condo, purchase a house, have a bank account, purchase alcohol from our illustrious ABC board, purchase cigarettes. I mean, I don't know who the person is that is floating throughout our society that does not have an ID. I don't know what you can't have a job. You can't collect Social Security or any other benefits without a valid form of identification. So even though everybody has an ID, even though everybody has access to an ID, and if they don't, the Board of Elections offers them a free photo ID for voting purposes only. Free. No cost to the person. Zero cost to the individual that needs it. Even with that, even with an exemption form that allows you to go in and fill out an exemption form and still cast your ballot, even with all of those procedures and processes set up and put in place, it is still, to the political left, voter suppression. And that's why I am of the mindset that, just like threat to democracy, voter suppression is just another one of these catch-all terms, another one of these buzzword phrases that are used by the political left that at this point in time, I cannot define. To me, it no longer has a meaning. Now, I know what the traditional definition of voter suppression is. I'm sure you can wrap your head around the idea of what actual voter suppression is and what it looks like. But when you claim that anything and everything that is done by a Republican is voter suppression, the phrase loses all of its meaning. The term no longer means anything. And that's where we are right now. I mean, do you remember the outrage over North Carolina voter ID? Do you remember the discussions by those on the left that people aren't going to be able to vote anymore? That the election system that we have right now in our state is going to crumble? It's just going to completely disintegrate if you have the audacity and you go through the process of asking somebody to verify who they are, verify their identity to vote. I mean, the outrage was absurd. And then, of course, a bigotry of low expectations on the left. They tried to turn it into a racial issue because that's, again, one of the things that they believe is a winning message for them. So bigotry of low expectations from the political left then turned it into a race issue, somehow indicating that individual minority communities were too incapable or too incompetent to get themselves an ID, which is incredibly racist. But of course, that's the left. No real surprise there. So this term, this phrase, voter suppression, has been floating around here. It's not a new term, but it's been floating around here for the last couple of weeks over this decision by the, again, bipartisan, unanimous Board of Elections decision to only have one election location open. And there's a great point being put out in our Rumble live chat this morning. With the DMV being so messed up right now, they might actually have a bit of an argument. Absolutely. That's a valid point. But the state of North Carolina has dealt with that. And here in the state, you are allowed to use a driver's license, an expired driver's license, for up to 2 years to vote. Following some of the similar legislation that was passed dealing with the backlogs and the slowdowns and the delays at DMV, the same way that you're allowed to drive with an expired license for up to 2 years, a regular Class C driver's license in the state for 2 years, the same thing with a photo ID for voting. You are allowed to use an expired license for 24 months. So, and again, if all else fails, if nothing else works, you can go to the County Board of Elections in all 100 counties across North Carolina. You obviously have to go to the one you live in. But in every county across the state, you can go to your Board of Elections, fill out a form, bring some very limited documentation to prove who the hell you are, and they will print you out a free voter identification card that can be used solely for the purpose of voting. If all else fails, if the DMV is too much of a pain in the ass, which it is, no, I'm not going to fault anybody for that. If you don't have a passport, if you don't have any sort of governmental ID, nothing at all, you can go get a free ID. And if even that is too much of a hurdle, you can still show up to vote and fill out an affidavit, an exemption form, claiming that you have some serious impediment as to why you can't show an ID. So this idea that people are being turned away, this idea that voters do not have the ability to act on their democratic republic, this idea that people are no longer going to be able to take part in their government over voter ID is nothing more than a political talking point. It's not based in any sort of fact, reality, and the numbers sure as hell don't back up and prove that it's an actual issue. Right? Georgia passed voter ID laws back a couple of years before North Carolina, and every single year since they passed voter ID, the turnout in major elections has been a record-breaking number. So I don't know how that's voter suppression. And of course, that's what Stacey Abrams and those on the left down in Georgia were claiming was going to happen, that people were just going to not be able to vote, that Republicans were going through and suppressing the vote of Democrats. Meanwhile, voter turnout in the state of Georgia has been a record every single year since. So the whole narrative has been completely blown out of the water. You know it, I know it, the vast majority on the political right, and I would even argue most of the folks in the middle, understand and can wrap their head around the concept that forcing somebody to show their ID, to identify who they are before they cast a ballot, is not too much of a bar or a standard. It's a relatively simple task to accomplish, to make sure that you are casting a ballot for who you say that you are. Pretty simple process. But again, to the left, it's voter suppression. So now you turn locally to this decision by the Board of Elections back 2 weeks ago on this issue. It's caused a lot of controversy in the county, a lot of calls onto the New Hanover County Commission to do something about it. And yesterday, New Hanover County Commissioner Dane Scalise put out a video on social media. It says, calling out the dishonest people who made their best efforts to deceive and divide the public with totally false claims about the Board of Elections and voter suppression. So let's hear from Commissioner Scalise as to the issue that's unfolding and some of these dishonest people and these dishonest claims that are now propagating through the public here in New Hanover County in southeastern North Carolina. Here's Commissioner Scalise.
Hey, y'all. This is Commissioner Dane Scalise here today to talk with you a little bit about some of the wild and false accusations that some people have been making our community concerning the Board of Elections and early voting. Unfortunately, some people who are currently in elected office, some people who are running for elected office, some people who are on important boards and committees, and some of their most extreme supporters have been, well, there's no other way to say this, they've been lying about what's going on with the Board of Elections and early voting. And I think that that is unacceptable. And the record needs to be set straight. And so I'm going to, as quickly as I can, describe to you some of the lies, tell you the truth, and then ask you, I think, some important questions at the end of this conversation. So lie number one is that the New Hanover County Commissioners slashed the budget to the Board of Elections. This is false. In fact, the New Hanover County Commissioners increased the budget to the Board of Elections by $344,070, this most current budget. Lie number two is that the New Hanover County Commissioners voted to place early voting at the Northeast Library location. This is also false. The New Hanover County Commissioners don't vote to place voting sites anywhere in the county. That is done by the Board of Elections. And building off of claim number two is a claim that there was some sort of political conspiracy to place the early voting at the Northeast Library for reasons of voter suppression, for election interference, because people are racist and fascist and all kinds of ridiculous slurs that irresponsible people like to throw around. And
man, I love Commissioner Scalise. I love how he just calls this out. You're an authoritarian. You're a fascist. You're a racist. Everything. I mean, literally everything. It rained last night at my house. You're a bigot. Okay. That makes sense. There was a thunderstorm that rolled through at about midnight tonight. Oh, well, that makes you a racist. Okay. Sounds about right. I mean, it's literally everything, folks. You can't wake up and say the sky is blue without some idiot leftist claiming that that's the patriarchy and you're an authoritarian fascist who wants to destroy our so-called democracy. I mean, it's constant. It's never ending. And it's with everything. Constantly. 24/7. Always. And props to Commissioner Scalise. I love what he said. And I love how he just called it out. It's irresponsible people throwing around these terms that do have, to people like me and you, who understand the definition of words, do have a pretty significant meaning. If you're going to call somebody a racist, that is a serious accusation to levy against somebody. That is something that, to me, carries significant weight with somebody being an actual racist. A fascist? An actual fascist. Those are very, very serious, heavy, and hard terms. But then you use them ad nauseum to describe anything and everything that you politically disagree with. You wean down the term to where it no longer means anything. Now I hear and see these words written, and I just brush it off because it no longer has a meaning to me. It no longer has a meaning to the vast majority of the American populace that for the last decade have heard these terms thrown around in random sentences describing absolutely nothing. So props to Commissioner Scalise for calling this out for what it is.
This is also false. Obviously, it's false, and I'll tell you in part why you can be confident that's the case, because there was a recommendation by the Board of Elections staff to place it at the Northeast Library, and then that recommendation was validated, approved, voted on by a unanimous Board of Elections comprised of both Republicans and Democrats. So Democrats and Republicans voted collectively and unanimously to agree with the Board of Elections to place early voting at the Northeast Library site. And then perhaps the most distressing and disappointing lie of all was the lie that there was some intentional effort to refuse to put early voting locations in other portions of the county, to put them closer to downtown Wilmington. And that, again, that was a testament to the just awful nature of the people who are Republicans on the Board of Commissioners, to the Republicans that are on the Board of Elections, to every Republican in New Hanover County. And that's just grotesquely false. And it's false, we know, because of actually something that falls at the feet of the very same people who were leading the charge on these ridiculous claims. On June 3rd of this year, the Board of Elections sent an email to the city of Wilmington and asked them, in essence, do you want additional voting sites in the city of Wilmington beyond the one that we're going to select for early voting? And incredibly, Wilmington city staff and Wilmington City Council did nothing with this email. They said, please send us an email response and let us know what are the sites that you want. And they did nothing with it. The folks who are now claiming that the Republicans here in this community attempted to stifle voting opportunities, the Democratic majority at the city of Wilmington decided to ignore that email and not respond. Now, did they do that because they were concerned about the cost? Did they do that because they just don't check their emails? Did they do that because they wanted to stir up chaos and create distrust in this community? I don't have the answer to that, but I do wonder, whenever there are people who are willing to lie about all of those things, what their intentions are. And that's really the last point that I want to make. How is it that whenever we have a society like the one that we do, where we're already kind of frustrated, politics is difficult, it's hard for us to find common ground, how are we ever going to be able to find common ground whenever you have people that, irrespective of the truth, are willing to lie, that are willing to put their own personal and political ambitions over telling the truth to the public? How can we hope to find common ground? I know that there are going to be plenty of times where we're going to have disagreements over matters of policy, but it will be very hard for us to ever find common ground if we have people who are going to continue to lie for political benefit. And I'm not just talking about a little white lie. These are big lies. These are lies that were intended to destroy reputations, to pit entire groups of our county against other entire groups of our county. That's not what leadership looks like. That's what a cult leader does. That's what somebody who is willing to lie and do anything that they can for political power would do. But it's not somebody that you should trust. It's not somebody that whenever they bring up something that sounds controversial and crazy again in the future, that you should just believe without looking into it a little bit further. It's important for us to find ways to talk to one another. It's important for us to find ways to work with one another. But that has got to start with telling the truth. It has got to start with not doing everything in your power to destroy your neighbors. I don't like making this video. It's not fun. I'm going to continue to do everything I can to work across the aisle and to work with anybody who wants to work with me on the issues that are important to our community. But to those who are willing to lie, I would ask you, look inward. Do better. It's unacceptable, and the people of New Hanover County deserve better. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you about this important issue. I'm here anytime you want to reach out to me. Bye-bye.
There's Commissioner Dane Scalise in a very well done video blowing up the narrative from those on the political left over voter suppression, lack of funding, just all of the litany of typical issues that you would expect from those that, again, have nothing else to talk about, nothing else to go on, but the concept, but the idea, but the notion that something is happening, and the reason that something is happening is because it's some sort of grand political conspiracy, that things are happening and our democracy is being destroyed, our voting rights are being stripped away from those within within New Hanover County, and all of this is happening again for some sort of nefarious political reason. That all of this is happening in an attempt to try and dissuade individuals from showing up and voting. That all of this is happening, again, in some grandiose conspiracy theory. And one of the individuals that is peddling this is a current member of the Wilmington City Council. Her name is Celette Andrews, and here is the comment that she put out on her Facebook page back on July the 25th. Here it reads, "Alert for Wilmington residents. Our access to democracy just took a massive hit. In a county election board vote held on July the 22nd, 2025, the New Hanover County Board of Elections approved cutting early voting sites from 4 down to just 1, keeping only the Northeast Public Library location open this fall. But here's the kicker. This was entirely driven by the Republican majority on the county commissioners. They approved budget cuts exceeding $260,000, including $70,000 in part-time staffing, defunding critical support for multiple early voting sites. That translates into massive reduced access for working people, families without reliable vehicles, and anyone who can't take time off midday to just drive to one location. Public comment from partisan chairs offered thin consolidation. Republicans claim people, quote, who are passionate will find a way or call their party for a ride. That's not giving access. That's shifting the burden onto voters themselves. Remember, this was not a decision made by the Board of Elections independently. It was the direct result of commissioners voting to defund and understaff the election board so badly that it could no longer support multiple sites. So again, it's this constant sky falling thing with the left. So the Board of Elections is now defunded? It's now defunded. So we won't have elections in November. Right? If I defund something, there's no longer funding for it. If I defund the Board of Elections, I can no longer have the Board of Elections. And as Commissioner Scalise notes in his video, it's not true. There's no defunding of the Board of Elections going on. The bipartisan board, which makes up and comprises the Board of Elections, made this decision unanimously off of what Commissioner Scalise described as a staff recommendation. Those staff members are employees of New Hanover County. They're not elected to those positions. They're not appointed to those positions. They are employees. They are hired by the county. They are a regular employee like anybody else. They are tasked with making recommendations, and an appointed board of individuals, three Republicans and two Democrats, are responsible for making decisions based on those staff recommendations. And they can choose to go with what staff says. They can choose to ignore what staff says. But starting with the concept, with the notion that this came from staff. So this conspiracy theory, which is the only way you can describe this ridiculous post from Celette Andrews, this conspiracy theory over the board of the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners, marionetting the Board of Elections, marionetting the staff, marionetting the election process in New Hanover County, is complete and total nonsense. It's not based, again, in any fact, reality, or anything. It is a complete and total manufactured situation. And I guess they're just not interested in the truth. The chairman of the New Hanover County Republican Party, John Hinnant, responded to some of this controversy with a statement to WECT. He writes, "The Wilmington City Council admitted it did not read the email. Then a Democrat member of City Council decided to spread misinformation to incite the public based on a lie. It is irresponsible, and elected officials should know better. We are where we are now because Republicans are gracious in their desire to provide excellent customer service through the Board of Elections, much better than it did under Democrat leadership, as demonstrated by the blatant violation of law on Election Day 2024. It's pure luck that the State Board of Elections extended the deadline for early voting plans to be submitted. Otherwise, it would have been submitted yesterday, as the 5th was the original deadline to submit plans to the state. Frankly, all the outrage should quickly become gratitude. We're lucky to be able to amend the plan." And that's exactly what happened. The Board of Elections did then go on to amend the plan. The details that we've got this morning indicates that the Board of Elections is adding additional voting sites. They met yesterday to do so. They've added Carolina Beach Town Hall, a building at Cape Fear Community College downtown, as well as the New Hanover County Senior Resource Center. However, the northeast branch of the New Hanover County Public Library, which has been a voting location for the last couple of years, will be open all 17 days of the early voting period. It will be open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and weekends noon to 5. The new additional locations will only be open during the last 8 days of the early voting period. They'll be open on Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. and open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m. On the last Saturday before Election Day, all locations will be open from 8 to 3. So there you go. The change has been made. But it is interesting that Commissioner Scalise points out that the city of Wilmington, which would include Sillette Andrews, was asked about extra voting locations, was asked about early voting sites. And the response was not only no, we're good, the response was nothing. Yet she takes to her personal social media account to demagogue Republicans and bastardize Republicans and claim that they are once again taking a huge stab at our democracy. Her direct quote, "Our access to democracy just took a massive hit." I mean, folks, when I read this stuff, anytime I see something about democracy in a sentence or in a paragraph now, I just laugh at it. Because I've been told for the last decade, for the last 10 years, that anything and everything is a threat to democracy. Everything. I wake up this morning, run out to the local Waffle House and grab something for breakfast, and I'm committing an act of a threat to democracy. I mean, it's constant. I'm going to go refill my coffee here in a few minutes during our break. That also probably is a threat to democracy. How? I have no idea. But it is, because everything is. Anything and everything is a threat to democracy. Anything and everything is voter suppression. It's absurd and it's ridiculous. And it's an attempt by the political left, who, by the way, are the majority on the city council. We talked about that in great detail yesterday. 5 Democrats to 2 Republicans on the Wilmington City Council. Yet they couldn't be bothered to respond to an email from New Hanover County asking about extra voting locations. So there's the ball being dropped by people like Sillette Andrews. So if she wants to talk about democracy taking a massive hit, why doesn't she do her damn job and respond to the county? If she's so worried about the so-called democracy, then why didn't she do her job? Why didn't she get ahead of this issue? She's a freaking elected official. She's got more information than you and I and everybody else. But it's after the fact, after the email was ignored, she goes on social media, gins up a bunch of outrage, gins up a bunch of controversy, and just makes nonsensical claims. And it's obvious that that's the attempt. It's obvious that that's what's going on, because you look at the comments of her post and it's a bunch of Democrats making comments, including people like Tim Merrick, saying that voter suppression is scandalous, but also pulling the rug from so many organizations that enrich our lives, build our communities, and make us a desirable location. This is a guy on the school board, the guy that wears the fedora. That's him. So this is what's being perpetrated online, this is what's being propagated online. This is the misinformation. This is the nonsense that is happening. All of it for what? I think, like Commissioner Scalise said, I think he's absolutely spot on. To divide people, to pit people against each other, to make sure that Republicans hate Democrats and Democrats hate Republicans. That's what these people want. Yet, as you watch a city council meeting, you'll hear about how we have to come together. We've got to lower the temperature. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. Yet, that does not stop far left progressives, of which Sillette Andrews is, on the Wilmington City Council from purposefully trying to divide individuals based on ideological political lines. So now Democrats have got what they want, I guess. Now you've got your 3 extra voting locations. So I guess there won't be any more discussion. There will be no more talk on threat to democracy, voter suppression through the rest of this election cycle. I guess. I mean, there can't be, right? Because the problem has been solved. Thankfully, the State Board of Elections allowed the deadline for the plans to be submitted. They changed that by a couple of dates. So that allowed the county to submit a new plan yesterday with those additional sites. So I guess it all worked out, right? No more voter suppression. No more threat to democracy. That's what you guys claimed. So I guess that is how I read that. That problem should be solved. Thanks to Commissioner Scalise for actually providing some common sense, normal rhetoric and logical commentary to the community as a whole, as Democrats like Celette Andrews think it's more important to score cheap political points and fearmonger people into believing that somehow they won't be able to vote in the city council election, which, by the way, will have like less than 20% turnout anyway, because people don't actually show up and vote for these elections anyway, right? That's a growing problem anyway. So maybe maybe she should use her time a little bit better. Like, oh, I don't know, trying to protect businesses in downtown Wilmington, which she voted against on Tuesday. Instead, she's posting about threat and end of democracy on her Facebook page. Thanks, Celette. Great leadership there on the Wilmington City Council. When legal challenges arise in Wilmington, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group. For over 20 years, since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. I've got great news for you, folks. They are located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. We'll grab a quick break. On the other side, some major movement in the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine. Of course, it surrounds Donald Trump. We'll get into those details as the Nick Craig Show rolls on live on a Thursday morning, streaming on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Thursday morning to you. Thanks for spending some time with us here on the Nick Craig Show. It is greatly appreciated. We are tracking some pretty big news this morning. One of the big stories coming out over the last 24 hours is that President Donald Trump is set to meet face-to-face with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the coming days. The meeting between Putin and Trump has been agreed upon, according to Kremlin officials. They confirmed that yesterday, and it could possibly take place as early as next week at a venue that has yet to be decided. Putin's foreign affairs advisor told reporters, at the suggestion of the American side, it has been agreed in principle to hold a bilateral meeting at the highest level in the coming days. Next week is the target date for the summit. While officials noted that such events take time to organize and no date is confirmed, that the announcement, the actual date, and the venue will be announced relatively soon. The foreign advisor to Putin also downplayed the possibility of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky joining the summit meeting to discuss ending Russia's three-year war of their neighbor in Ukraine, which the White House said Trump is ready to consider having Zelensky in the room. So that is one of the interesting things to note. A meeting between Trump and Putin would, in fact, be the first since the Republican president returned to office. There have been reports of numerous phone calls and discussions and things back and forth, but they have not met face-to-face since Trump was sworn back into office back in late January of this year. And from all accounts, it's hopefully a significant milestone in the war. You've seen over the last couple of months, President Trump ratcheting up the pressure on Russia. He is finding himself ever more frustrated with what you can only describe as Russia's really unwillingness to end the war. I mean, they say they do, right? Putin sends out his foreign ministers and, you know, this affairs guy, that affairs guy, to claim that they want an end and so on and so forth. The reality is, I don't think they really do. And it makes sense that they don't, because the pride issue has been what this war has been all about. I'll take you back to 3 years, or I'll take you back 3 years ago when this whole thing began. This should have been, from a pure resources and military strategic standpoint, Russia should have been able, I'm not saying this is what I wish happened, but talking about from a purely analytical standpoint, Russia should have been able to steamroll Ukraine in the matter of just a few weeks, if not just a couple of days. Their military is so much larger and has so many more resources available. This should have been done for Putin within the span of a couple of weeks, at the absolute most. But here we sit in the beginning of August 2025, and it has been going on now for 3 years. Vladimir Putin, to keep up the picture of Mother Russia, the strong Russian regime, cannot lose this war. And so his unwillingness to come to the negotiating table, his unwillingness to stop the bloodshed, his unwillingness to stop this war, I believe is purely has to do with political optics. It's been a terrible look for him for 3 years now. It's obviously easier for him to control his message because in Russia, it's, of course, state-sponsored, state-run, state-controlled media. So he's got the ability to control the narrative pretty well, presumably in his own country. But throughout the rest of the world, it's just pathetic. In Western democracy, like we have, in the rest of the free world that has access to information, you can see what has actually gone on. You can watch this process, watch the Russian side continue to struggle to gain any significant ground in what should have been, for them, a relatively simple military operation. Now, I understand that taking over a full country is not simple. But when you look at the size of the Russian military, the force of the Russian military, this should have been a simple problem. This should have been something that they should have been able to do relatively quickly. And they failed. He completely failed, the Russian president. Ukraine has held their own. A lot of that, of course, is the backing of hundreds of billions of dollars from the United States, which does continue to this day. Trump wants to get this thing over with. He is sick of subsidizing it. He is sick of dealing with it. And he wants it done. There's no reason for it. Russia is not going to have Ukraine. Russia is not taking over Ukraine. If they wanted to do that, they should have done it and finished the job 3 years ago, but they didn't. And so at this point in time, the opportunity to end this thing is going to have to be Russia conceding. However, that is obviously not what Vladimir Putin and the rest of the Russian government wants. They want to take over Ukraine. They want to have that territory back under the Russian flag and the Russian seal. And so as this meeting is apparently scheduled for sometime in the next week or so, it's not immediately clear, President Putin continues to stall the process. And that has obviously gotten on Trump's nerves. He has threatened very, very harsh tariffs within a 45-day, a 60-day, a 45-day period, something like that, back a few weeks ago, that if Russia doesn't come to the table and does not agree to some sort of ceasefire deal and does not get this dealt with, that he is going to ratchet up the pressure and is going to make it economic hell for Russia. And he seems to be pretty hell-bent on that. He has done his damnedest with both sides over the last 6 months to get them to come to an agreement to continue the negotiations. And both sides have, at certain points, seemed unwilling. I mean, you had Zelensky here in the United States back in March making a complete and total jackass of himself, trying to sit in front of cameras in the Oval Office and redraw the entire narrative, only to be slapped down by both Trump and J.D. Vance and essentially kicked out of the White House for making such a fool of himself. So you had that process that unfolded. Many folks at the time claiming, and I think rightfully so, that it seemed maybe that Zelensky wasn't truly interested in peace either. But I think the time has come. And I would imagine, yes, there have been phone calls. Yes, there's been diplomatic visits from high up officials on both sides. All of that has taken place. I would gamble and I would bet that if this face-to-face meeting between Trump and Putin happens sometime next week, that there is a very strong possibility that this war is ended by the end of this month. Now, the process may begin at the end of this month, and it may take a month or two to wind it down, but I can't imagine that Trump and Putin are going to get in the same room together, that they are going to have this negotiation, and that Trump is going to walk away not getting some sort of concession from Putin. Trump holds the cards. Putin doesn't. He was unsuccessful in a military operation 3 years ago to take over a very geographically small and weak country, which is Ukraine. Completely failed. He holds no cards. His people are pissed off. He has completely depleted his military. He's killed countless, I mean, tens, hundreds of thousands of individuals under the age of 30, sending them out to die on the front lines. It's a mess for him. I would imagine that Trump is going to be probably a little belligerent with the Russian president when they get together next week. So we'll watch as this process unfolds, as the date and time is announced, and when this meeting is actually scheduled to take place. We'll pass along those details and provide the information as soon as we get it, and of course, as soon as it continues to be relevant right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, it has been a busy week, a lot going on locally, a lot going on internationally and nationally as well. I do want to take another look this morning. We talked about it earlier this week. The National Hurricane Center out of Miami, Florida, does continue to watch a couple areas of disturbance, as we are now in the more what is described as a much busier time in the Atlantic hurricane season. You've got a tropical storm Dexter continuing to move away from the continental United States. You've got this wave off of Africa, which is now Invest 96L, that is continuing to push its way west towards the United States. However, all of the computer modeling indicates that this storm will not affect the United States. It's still very far out. There is the possibility for something to change, for the timing to maybe change a little bit. But as it looks right now, it seems that that storm is not going to have any immediate impact on the United States. I guess the possibility of some rough surf, maybe if it becomes a strong enough storm, is a possibility, but it doesn't seem likely, at least at this point, that that tropical wave that we looked at earlier this week, that it is set to have any major impact. The models are just not showing that it's going to do so, looking at it recurving and going back out to sea. So keeping an eye on the Atlantic hurricane season as well. I guess if you're got a trip or going to Bermuda or know people in Bermuda, that's probably an area worth watching. But for the mainland United States, no major problems expected. So we'll keep an eye on all of that. Thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Also, thanks to all of our Patreons over at patreon.com/Nick Craig for supporting the program as well. We will do it again tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.